Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful, June 19th, 2025. Welcome to your TNA Impact post show. I am Atrel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Why am I spelling my name? I don't know, because I'm all off. I'm all askew tonight. TheJoelPearl.com on Blue Sky. I'm not going to spell that because you've already spelled the name. So the part you can probably get, the .com part you can probably get. It's not important. Regardless, we're here. I'm here. My ride or die is here. Do you want to know something? Crest the Star is here. How you doing?
Do you want to know something? Hello, everybody. Hello, Joel Pearl. How are you doing tonight? I want to say really quickly from the chat, I you're not a sports fan. We talked really quickly. It seems you're doing fine, but it doesn't seem Jeremy is.
I said it before and I said it again. Let's let in some people on the lore. Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern, over on Fightful Overbooked. That's our sister channel. In the Weeds is the show that I host. It's a morning show. It's full of everything that you would expect out of a morning show, including a co-host of mine, who is one of, if not the best news writer in all of professional wrestling news coverage. I'd say so. He's also a massive sports fan, big Oklahoma City Thunder fan. Decided today during the show on an episode I wasn't on because I don't do Tuesdays and Thursdays, that maybe he should buy a ticket, go to Indiana, and watch game number 6 between the Pacers and the Thunder. Said, Jeremy, you should probably not do that. You're big upping the thing that you don't do, and that's go to a game when a team is on the brink of elimination in the away team's barn. And he's there right now. And as of this moment, 10:13 Eastern, the Thunder are down by a substantial amount. And Pacers are looking to tie the series in the third quarter. So Jeremy's there, and I will be on In the Weeds tomorrow as a result. You can't tell me otherwise. And so will our guest, Spencer Love from Love Pro Wrestling. Love that dude. He tempted fate. Not Spencer. Jeremy did, as someone in the chat has mentioned. Tempted fate. I'm not going to make him feel bad about it. I'm sure he already feels bad about it. But here we are, the NBA Finals, and that's it. Zeno Hour asking, can Cresta co-host ITW since Jeremy is in hell? Cresta doesn't wake up before the ass crack of 1 p.m., so I don't know if I can get that out of her.
To be fair, I stay up till exactly 4 a.m. playing Marvel Rivals. So.
So once again, the ass crack of 1 p.m. at the best of times.
You know what? If I'm awake, I will DM you and say, hey, do you have a co-host? If you say no, I will... Mumbra, and I'll be here. But if not, I will message you promptly at 1 p.m. when I turn over in my coffin.
Listen, the show starts at 10 a.m. If you see that we're live and it's just me, you know what to do. If you just want to show up, you just can. You know how to get onto this thing. It's the same. It's the same place, just at 10 a.m.
I love a good plug for In the Weeds.
Don't we all? 10 a.m. Eastern, Monday to Friday. I'm there Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Jeremy's there all 5 days, although we'll see how much longer he survives. And SP3 does Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Honestly, God forbid a man has a hobby.
It's time to get a better hobby. Anyway, speaking of hobbies, let's talk about TNA Impact.
Yeah, let's go.
Happy 23rd anniversary to Impact. I love that they just find the most random numbers to shout out. Impact 1000, 20th anniversary of TNA and Impact. Impact 23rd anniversary, because it just happens to be the 23rd anniversary of the air date that was great. Good for them. You know what? I thought the show was pretty fine. I thought there was some good stuff. I thought there was some okay stuff. Cresta, I can never truly get engaged with a champions versus challengers match, because a match like this only does one thing to me. It highlights the fact that all but one of your men's champions are heels. And they made the best out of a weird situation in that Steve Maclin was the only babyface on his team. So they made the most out of it by turning this the story into how does Maclin work with his team. And of course, we find out, well, he doesn't. But just can't do it like this. I just can't do a champions and challengers match. And I hope that there are fewer in my future, because they did it at Impact 1000. They probably did it at a Slammiversary pre-show once that I'm not thinking of. This is one that I'm done with. Keep the 8-4-1, stop the champions and challengers match. What'd you think of the main event tonight?
I thought the main event was fun because I knew there was going to be shenanigans. And to your point of them showing Maclin as a babyface, it's even more ironic or funny that Maclin is a babyface against his will. He's more like an anti-hero, like, I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to be the best champ you ever saw, but I'm not here to play no games or play no stupid guitar. But yet everybody else who's a champion is worse than he is. And he's like, Jesus Christ, I'm a bad guy, but I'm not a bad guy like these guys. So now I got to be the good guy. And then they treated him so poorly. You know, justice for Steve Maclin, honestly, truly.
He really deserved better tonight. But you know what? They did a good job of at least making things make sense in a match that otherwise was just a big mess of people doing stuff to Ryan Nemeth.
And honestly, Trey Miguel, because there were times where Trey Miguel and Leon Slater looked like they were dying in this match. They're great sellers, so I'll give them that. And it's also kind of crazy that they never wanted to tag in Maclin, or Maclin had to force himself to be tagged in when he's the only one who really wanted to wrestle. Trick Williams kind of wanted to wrestle. The Nemeth brothers were too busy doing other things. So it's like, what are we? And if you're a heel, why wouldn't you let that guy get beat up? I don't know.
Shout out to Issa in the chat. Justice for Ryan. She's doing a TNA watch along now on her channel. So go check that out.
Yes.
NYC and Divas, the channel. Go check that out. I stumbled upon it and I said, you're on my turf. What are you doing? And we had a nice little
turf.
Shout out to Issa. She's wonderful. And it's nice to see other people in the space doing some TNA talk, because it can't always be us, because who else is going to find out that they are misspelling, you know, content cards and pointing them out? Someone else.
I grew up in the time of WWE, so there's only me. There's nobody else. I'm so sorry.
It's just you. It's just me, Use.
It's just, get out of my brain, Charles.
So, you know, we've been doing this show for too long. We're getting to another year anniversary, aren't we? If we haven't already passed it.
I feel like we have, because it just made 2 years since I've been doing the AEW show.
So we got to be closing in, if not already passed 3, maybe starting year 4.
No, we've already passed it, because we started right after my birthday, which was around May 30th. My birthday is May 2nd. So I definitely remember that. And I will go and look at it. Matter of fact, I think you've got some promo bumpers to support Fightful, and I'll look it up.
If you weren't going to call it out, I was. So while Cresta's going and finding what we need, go ahead, leave a thumbs up on the video. That's what we do here. That always gets us a nice little engagement bump, because that's what we need here, right? And of course, subscribe to the channel if you have not subscribed to us here at youtube.com/Fightful. Why did I give you the full URL? Because I'm killing time for Cresta. That's why. You can go ahead, hit that subscribe button, and over on Overbooked, go do that as well. And you can donate a super chat any amount, get your question or your statement read on the air. You get to drive the conversation a little bit. Sometimes we read from the chat, but let's face it, if you want to support us a little bit further, we appreciate that. So you go ahead, drop us a super chat, or you can go over to humperchats.com. Cresta is indisposed, so I will tell you that you go over to humperchats.com. You can again leave any amount, and when you do, it gives us a little more of that cashiola that we're after. And then Sean's happy. And then the Decepticons are happy. And then the Autobots come after us and we start World War III all over again, even though that's happening in other parts of the world. Ding, humperchats.com. Did you find it?
Sure did. May 22nd was when it was announced. So that was a Sunday in May in 2022. So May 27th. No, that's a, get out of here, a reminder. It was May 26th is when we had our first show, because that would be that Thursday.
Oh, we are
2022.
So we are way ahead on that.
Yo, we're here, bro. Listen, I, for one, welcome more people to watch TNA. And honestly, let's all yell about it together. Juntos for our Spanish speaking viewers.
Hey, shout out to someone in the chat saying my voice would be perfect for NPR. I actually applied for a job at CBC, which is the Canadian Broadcasting Company, or corporation, I should say. And it's part of Canada's government-owned telecommunications, whatever. Yeah, it's nice to know that, that people find my voice soothing enough to be on the radio. So I've always been told I have a face for it, so why don't I add my voice too?
Don't talk about my friend like that. Thank you very much.
By the way, FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 in the business. You want to go get your scoops? You want to go get it right? Go over there right now. Gail Kim visited NXT recently. What's that mean? Who knows? She's definitely someone who should be working somewhere in wrestling if she so chooses, but she's been hanging around Florida in the NXT world, so maybe that's one place you can be seeing her. Who knows? MJF getting accosted at a hotel in Mexico. Yeah, we had that scoop last night during our AEW Grand Slam Mexico post show. And of course, it went over on Fightful Select. Grapsity did their Q&A this morning or this afternoon. I guess it was maybe morning for Reg because it was West Coast. Whatever. Regardless, those guys are doing that, holding that down. And of course, Sean does a Q&A. Most aggregated Q&A in all of wrestling. So go ahead. Best $5.99 in the business. Go get it. FightfulSelect.com. Got it. You ready?
I was born ready.
Impact opens up with Eric Young defeating Sami Callihan. And he had to do this because, like we talked about last week, this would be the first matchup because Eric Young was the first match that was ever on a TNA show. They did it again when they did Impact 1000 and the 20th anniversary show. It was all EY. So you got to bring up EY first. Sami Callihan, of course, has a background in TNA. I like that throughout the night, Hannifin was kind of adding those little comments about the history of TNA. One of them that he mentioned was that Sami Callihan debuted in 2017. I was there for that. I saw it. That was at Bound for Glory in Ottawa, Canada. I went to that show. I was front row on the camera side, so you can see the back of my head if you're looking carefully. But there are a couple photos there of me at the event. Saw it live. Was neat to see Sami Callihan make his debut there. And he's been around the company ever since, which is wild. They also mentioned that EY has the fourth most all-time competed matches. He is at 719 tonight. And the only people ahead of him, AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, James Storm, who I share a birthday with. That's pretty impressive category of people there. Yeah, this match is great. Again, I love that Hannifin had all the storytelling, Violent by Design going into the design. They were after Sami Callihan. There was some good stuff here. Before I get into your thoughts, I do have to point out the best thing you can do if you hit a top rope elbow and you go after everyone at ringside, including the referee, is just roll back into the ring and have your opponent just grab your dick and hit a stunner.
I will say tonight the theme low-key was you refs suck. I think every match had the crowd chanting ref you suck. There was the double thumb to the eye and the ref just standing there. I mean, I guess at that point I would just count both of you because you're both doing it. And then that meaty yam bag shuffle.
he had a fistful.
He had a butcher's feast. Like he was looking for gold.
He was digging all up in there.
I mean, this match was exactly what it needed to be. I'm not mad at Sami Callihan for going after the Northern Armory before the bell rung. And I will always be a fan of someone like Eric Young, Frankie Kazarian, a TNA original opening up a anniversary show. I don't know. I thought that would be a DQ with how much sausage this man was grabbing. But I guess, you know, TNA 23rd anniversary. No rules.
Made Alan Angel look like a saint.
Bro, Alan Angels is a vegan compared to what happened tonight.
great. Someone in the chat saying he almost gave him the shocker.
Bro, like,
he was way up there. He was way up there.
Oh, you can eat smorgasbord of meat. He got a fistful.
The fact that I'm almost certain that neither of the men in this match listen to this podcast make it even better. But if they do, kudos, because you broke us already.
This would be the clip The one time they watched the show, we were talking about that. He had a handful of meat, yams, potatoes, eggs.
And a full-on meal.
Haggis.
Northern Armory get involved. Icarus hits Sammy with a chair. EY gets the pile driver, gets the pinfall win. It makes sense. Sammy's not an ongoing character on the show. He's more of a break, not even in case of emergency, break glass. It's more like a he's a bit player. He can come out because he's been around for so long and he's a known character, so why not use him? And Eric is Eric. Like, EY is always going to be around, and having Icarus and Williams with him adds to the story and adds to their development as well. So I got it. I understand why they went the way they did. And of course, now Northern Armory are going to get a match next week in a tag match. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, it was a solid opening match. I don't think anyone expected this to be, you know, super duper classic. But in terms of the history of TNA, the story was there. And so were the characters.
I'm a fan of Eric Young. To me, he is the Phantom of TNA. So he has the mask. He's dead. So at this point, he could do no wrong, because unless you get, what is his name, who is in the dark? Father Mitchell?
Oh, Father James Mitchell. Yeah, noted NWA cocaine enjoyer. Oh, are you not aware of this?
My name is Cresta Starr. Not only do I not watch wrestling, I also mind my business.
The National Wrestling Alliance, several years ago now, held their first ever San Juan. Not San Juan. It's like Sam Hain, but it's pronounced San Juan. Anyway, the point is it had a weird name. This was in Ohio. I think it was in Cleveland. And the show was booked and presented by Father James Mitchell. And during the course of the show, it got more and more debaucherous to the point where at one point he comes out with some ladies and a bag of white powder. And have you ever wondered why the NWA never really went to that CW deal and why other things? Some people will tell you that had nothing to do with it, but there were certainly some nose candy and some eyebrows. They were raised. Anyway, there's an interview with Billy Corgan that Jeremy and I did over on Fightful Overbooked. You can go find it. We did ask about it. And now you know.
Wrestling! That's all I got.
Y'all thought Tyrus's NWA World Heavyweight Championship reign was the reason the NWA failed? No. There are a few things. That's one of them. But like the cocaine spot really, really blew it in certain ways. Get
what
it?
You did there.
I am a child at best. The Order 4 Summit. This ruled. I loved the Order 4 Summit. So Ali comes out with the Great Hands and Tasha Steeles. He orders them to stand on the apron. And then one by one, he says, I'm going to do a job of performance evaluation. First up is Tasha Steeles. He says she's been distracted and lying. Says Ali says, I know who you've been on the phone with. So he demands to see her phone and then says, you know, you spoke to him today, and she gets warned again. You do it again, you're out, and blah, blah, blah. Ali tells Tasha to apologize for lying. She does. Next up is Jason Hotch, who, by the way, announced his re-signing with TNA this week, which was fantastic. Really glad to see that, because Hotch has been really breaking out as a star. Ali questions him for questioning his leadership, calls him an idiot. Hotch reiterates, my wife and daughter were in the crowd when Ali put your hands on Tasha, so I stepped up like a man. And then Ali says, well, I pay your salary, and I gave you everything you have, so I'm your man, and therefore you must apologize. And then he says, you got to apologize on behalf of your wife and daughter, and he reluctantly does so, through his teeth. Then he brings out John Skyler. Cresta, I have said things about John Skyler that I do not regret, but I'm happy to say this is the best John Skyler has ever looked in TNA. Not just from performance, not just from presentation, but just the package. It was there. He had chutzpah. He had balls. Ali says nothing because Skyler grabs the microphone and berates him. He says Ali also has a family at home. And then Skyler doesn't. So he says, this is my family. And he points to Order 4 and to the fact he almost points to the audience. This is his family. This is his home. He calls Ali a jackass. And then Ali says, well, I don't have a soul, but I have a mission to make Order 4 the most powerful group in TNA. And then he calls Skyler the weakest link in Order 4 and tells him to apologize, tells him to get on his knees. And right as Skyler is about to, he refuses. He gets up and Ali pushes him, but Skyler pushes him back. Ali bails and then says, next week, we're having a call to arms match. What does that match entail? Nobody knows. But they're going to be taping it tomorrow night in Pittsburgh, which, by the way, apparently you can watch live and for free on TNA Plus, which I will probably do, but I'm very confused about how they're going to be showing this to the crowd. But anyway, this is the match, and this was the segment, and this was Skyler's time to shine. What did you think of the Order 4 Summit altogether and the Skyler stuff?
The Order 4 is one of the best storylines right now in TNA. To your point, I think this is the best both Hotch and Skyler have looked. I will say the Good Hands have finally looked, they look like a coherent tag team, not a bunch of guys who are just doing it to do it. I think Tasha Steele's in this is fantastic. And that's just me from outside of the, in the wrestling realm. If I'm talking kayfabe, if I'm an employee and you tell me it's a summit, but it's actually a performance review, I'm pissed. I didn't even get the pizza. You didn't even give me the bait and switch. No hors d'oeuvres, just get dressed down. And they told I had to apologize. I really liked when Jason Hotch was like, I have a daughter. I have a wife. You can't talk to me, let alone put your hands on a woman in front of them. I think that sometimes when we watch wrestling, a lot of people say, well, intergender matches, is that and the third, da, 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 da. I think sometimes it is good to have like, hey, it's one thing if you're wrestling. It's another thing if you're being a jerk. I like this. I think this whole thing is fantastic. I cannot wait to see how this turns out. And I can tell you that this call to arms match will be better than a Nigerian drum match. So
what if it is a Nigerian drum match? You'll be eating them words, won't you?
If it's a Nigerian drum match, you know what I'm going to say? Wrestling! That's what I'm going to say.
Once again, chat's asking who was on the phone. I still stand by Cedric Alexander.
I don't know. Because in my mind, Cedric Alexander is going to the Hurt Syndicate. I will hear none of it. But also, I'm slowly being convinced by you guys, but I don't know who knows Ali like that. There was a time, like I said before, I would have said Champagne Singh. Now that's out the window. So I don't know. I'm at a loss.
Thank Christ for that. Not that you at a loss, the fact that it's not Champagne Spin.
Got him in 4K, Joel.
There was no reason for it. Every time they do the surprises, it's just... We'll get there. Oh, okay, what if it's Hometown Man? That's who she keeps calling?
No. What if it's I don't know what his name is on the indies, but oh my god.
I don't think that's his name.
His name was just, he was in the Punjabi prison match. Oh my god.
Raj Deji?
No. Oh my god.
The former Jinder Mahal?
Jinder Mahal, yes. Okay.
His name is Raj Deji now.
I didn't know his shoot name or his
that's his work name now, yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate you. But yes, that's exactly who I'm talking about.
Why would it be Raj?
I don't know.
Because it's another Raj to come in for Raj Singh.
I was thinking maybe they had like a mentorship while they were WWE. I don't know. I'm throwing things at the wall.
I was going to say something awful.
Now she's trying to get me canceled.
I was about to say, you committing a racist act on Juneteenth? I can't do it. I'm sorry.
For what it's worth, Crest the Star, known racist. Got it. Please don't clip that out of context, please.
Yeah, I'm going with Cedric. I still think it's Cedric Alexander. Oh, God. By the way, happy Juneteenth to you and to our chat. I hope it was a wonderful day for all.
Tip me. How about that? F y'all.
Hey, man. Tip the lady.
Thank you, guys.
Getting super chats and your humper chats. Why not?
That, come on now. I'm threatening you. I heard you guys like that.
How now? Killer Kelly promo. I can get there. I think this was a really simple but effective explanation of not only the story catching us up, but also the kayfabe reason for Killer Kelly's time off. For most who know, she took time off because she had a child, and she's back, which is great. So outside of that, you know, they said that she took time away and saw that Masha became number one, and now they cheer for you, but I'm going to come back and effectively steal that spotlight, which is a pretty good story to go into it. I'm still wondering if this is happening next week on the show. What is the Slammiversary match?
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
I wouldn't even know. Killer Kelly would have been a good Slammiversary match. And you haven't really built up any other women at the moment.
And I get it. A lot of people are going towards Tessa because they did the last match. You know, they did it at the last pay-per-view, and Masha tapped out Tessa. That should be enough. I wonder, because it's not like Tessa's been on this like gargantuan winning streak.
Also, that it's like, my gripe with Tessa aside, it's not like they've been pushing her or making her predominantly look strong. If anything, you've been on an undercard kind of trajectory, you know?
I have a feeling if Indy beats Tessa, because they're clearly going towards that, you could see Indy Hartwell going up against Masha at Slammiversary, which will be an intriguing match. It's babyface, babyface, which is a little strange, but I wouldn't hate trying that one.
I would only hate to see that, because in that sense of babyface, babyface, Masha, I feel like, I'm nice now, but I'm a pit bull. I'll bite your face. And I could see Masha, quote unquote, taking it too far on Indy. And then it'd be like, oh, why'd you take it so far? It's like, I'm the champion. And then people turn it on Masha. And now Masha's a heel.
There could also be someone who's going to come in this week and insert herself into the Knockouts title division, and that'll be that. Someone who's a release or talent from another company, whatever it is, there could be easily someone. It could be someone from NXT who comes in and stakes her claim, right? Someone who's not doing the Evolution title match. Blake Monroe versus Masha Slamovic was actually a match that I seriously pitched at one point, and I'd like to see it, but I don't think we're going to see it anytime soon.
Would you like to hear a giggle?
Of course.
What if it is someone from NXT? What if it's Jordynne Grace?
I feel like we've been here before.
Listen, I personally would be sports entertained. However, I mean, you know, I could see them running it. I'm a different person now, Masha. You know, and we already got one person with the TNA title. I don't think Jordynne would win, but it'd be a cute run back for Slammiversary under different circumstances.
I just want to see how the TNA crowd would take to Jordynne's new theme music.
Yeah, I haven't heard it yet. And
it's fine. It's fine. It really is just fine. It's really just fine. Just, it's fine.
I'll listen to it afterwards.
Don't expect like groundbreaking stuff. Not that Jordynne's theme also wasn't like amazing either. Like, we got to stop kidding ourselves. It was fine. Like most of these wrestling themes these days, it's fine. It's a verse and a chorus looped over and over and over again, and people are fine with it.
I'm also a Jordan Grace stan, so this song could be the worst. Hell, she could slap me and put me in a suplex. I'd be like, you know what? I deserve that. Thank you. Can I have another?
So. That's right. You would. Speaking of people who do that, Iceman comes out, the personal concierge, and he's trying to get heat in Arizona by referencing the hockey team, which, like, God bless you, George Iceman. You are Canadian. I understand. But, like, the Arizona Coyotes don't exist anymore because nobody cared about them. So why are you trying to get
Arizona's
hockey?
Arizona's a state that cares about hockey.
They're going to try again in a few years, allegedly. But, like, why? Why did you do this? Crowd wasn't into it, but he tried. The Elegances do go on to defeat Masha Slamovich and Laying Lee. Shenanigans, glitter bombs, Killer Kelly comes out, distracts everyone. Ash hits her rarefied air on Masha, gets the win. And then after the match, Gia Miller asks the Inspiration how they feel. And they're like, oh, we're coming for those tag titles and it's going to be inspiring. That's that. What did you think?
My favorite part of the match. Well, first of all, nobody wanted to fight Laying Lee in the beginning, which that's I don't funny. Blame you. That woman is strong, okay? The other part that really got me, not Ash by Elegance taking out the Google Translate. It's like, I heard what you said about me. I'm like, girl, I hate that you got me, gal. Again, the poor ref, because I think they had ref you suck chance in this one. The Iceman, they were like, we hate you, Iceman. Iceman, you suck chance. I love Iceman. I live for Iceman, so keep the heat going. Yeah, I don't really have too much. I can't wait for the joke-off that's about to be the Inspiration versus the Elegances or Inspirational Elegance. I cannot wait for the that's going to be.
I think it'll be a very funny match. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be very silly. But that's just what the Knockouts Tag Division is right now. It's very silly.
I mean, at least we've got three tag teams now.
We always have three tag teams.
Not always. Sometimes we just have two.
We always have three, and a third one's just kind of hiding somewhere. It's like a triple threat when you're deep into the match, and it's one-on-one, but the third person's just hanging out on the side of the ring waiting to call their spot. That's the same thing with the Knockouts division. There's always that third team hanging out on the edge, just waiting to come in and call their spot.
Well, maybe if we're lucky, we'll get four. Don't know how lucky, but maybe if we're lucky, we'll get four. So...
it's just funny that they always do the same configuration of the Knockouts tag division. It will never cease to amaze me and just bring me joy. Unfortunately, something that did not bring me joy was the injury report, which we rarely talk about, but it's actually worth noting because they mentioned Casey Navarro is out with a knee injury that he apparently suffered during the Hardys tag match. Why this is relevant is because on Tuesday, Casey was supposed to be teaming up with AJ Francis and Trick Williams in that six-man NXT tag that had Yoshiki Inamura, Josh Briggs, and Elijah. Casey was out, so they brought in Wesley. That's whatever. But I was upset because we love Casey, and we wanted to see Casey get his NXT shine. But Unfortunately, knee injury means he's out for the foreseeable. He is promoted four matches on the Pittsburgh tapings. Whether or not those happen is up to his recovery. They didn't say anything about surgery. No one's come out and said anything else other than he's just injured, so he couldn't go on Tuesday. But the hope is he'll be back and active this weekend.
Yeah, I wish him the best because he is so talented. And like I had said before, and I think we've both said it, him and the Rascals just have such a good look for NXT. I speedy recovery. I hope his body pulls a Wolverine and heals real fast.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see what happens, but he's a good dude, and we hope that he's going to be back on his feet, literally, and moving around, ready to go. Mm-hmm. Santino comes out. This guy never comes out. He never speaks. Never cuts promos in TNA. He's never around. Santino announced that Mike Santana and AJ Francis, or AJ Francini, if you will be in a street fight next week. Looking forward to that. Really wanted to see this match. Glad we're getting it. And then he calls out Tommy Dreamer. Tommy the Dreamer. Sure. And he says, I'll make the match. I will make Dreamer versus Mance Warner, I'll do it. And then Steph DeLander and Mance are come out and they basically say the Dreamer is old, which is true. And Mance is the most violent man in TNA, also true. And then Dreamer says, I can't do this right now. And the business is about moments. And I'm like, oh, Christ, no, stop talking about making moments, make matches, make moments, not just little. Anyway, not important. And then he introduces Jake Something. Jake Something is back in TNA. It looks like we're doing Mance Warner and Jake Something for the next little bit. Big fan of that. Glad to see Jake Something back. Was hoping it would be a little more robust, but if this is what gets him started, and we might see a Jake Something Steve Maclin match in the foreseeable future. But Jake Something's back. What are we going to do with him?
You know, I would like Jake Something to win something. Maybe that could happen with him versus Mance. And then, like you said, Jake Something to fight Steve Maclin. That would be a fun little match. The only thing that really pissed me off, Steph DeLander said you were innovating violence in 95. I wasn't even born. I almost turned off the screen. How dare you?
We've had people on In the Weeds who have mentioned that they were born certain times that were much later than you and I. And every time it makes me sick.
Every time someone says, I was born 2000, I
you were just, yeah, I know.
I just thought I'm right in the face.
I get it. I've got two siblings in law who are born after the 2000s, and it eats me up inside.
I was born 20, so shut the hell up.
Yeah, don't, if it starts with a 20, don't talk to me.
Especially if it's a 20 and then a 1 and then
I mean, at that point, definitely don't talk to me, because it feels a little strange for you to be that young and talking to me.
I don't care. You don't want my opinion on anything. Go to school. I'm 22. Go to school.
Go to school, she says. Now we get to the dip in the stories for the rest of the evening. Indy Hartwell and Tessa are backstage. And Indy says, classic Tessa, not taking accountability. And I'm like, okay, now we're getting cute with things that are really happening. They mentioned that they have a history, Indy and Tessa do. I appreciate that. They're at least trying to tell you a story that Indy Hartwell, you know, slept on Tessa's couch and Tessa gave opportunities to Indy. And now Indy's just like, yeah, but you're kind of a bitch. That's not verbatim. That's just kind of the implication. They're leading to a match. Again, I'm kind of hoping that Indy gets shine out of this, maybe beats Tessa, student beats the master or something. But that's kind of all that happened there. I don't know if you have anything to add.
I want to be professional, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. I think this is a storyline where you're clearly playing in our faces. And hey, you don't got to apologize to us, but I think you should apologize to the people that accused you of bullying before you run a bully storyline. Because at that point, you're just saying, I don't care. And that's what we're doing. I want good things for Indy. And I think in this modality, she can come out on top. However, again, even if it's not a, who cares? Who cares what I think? I'm just a jabroni who watches wrestling. Who cares what the fans think? At least apologize to the people so they can run up for you. Because doing a storyline about the thing you're accused of very openly and very publicly, where you said, I don't care, at that point, it's kind of like, yeah, all right, okay. So we really, there's no rules. I want to move past this. I truly do. But it'll always be a black eye, because I used to be a huge Tessa fan. Great performer. In the ring can go. I'm just kind of tuned out. So that's my two cents on it. I'm like, for all of this, just apologize at this point instead of saying, because it's not funny. It's not funny.
93-65 Pacers right now, fourth quarter.
93-65. That's like 20 something. Ooh. It's
22 point difference.
I mean, maybe, I don't know how sports 32. Work.
32, 33? I don't know. I'm not a mathematician.
I'm not a sports fan. Maybe they could do it in triple overtime when they throw the football and get a safety. I don't know.
I don't think that's how that works. Someone in the chat's going to tell me the differential, because I am not a mathematician. But I can tell you about this guy. Matt Cardona teams up with Hometown Man. And they defeat Edward Edwards. Honky Tonk Man rolls up Edwards because HTM is on his stupid... whatever. Myers beats up Honky Tonk Man post-match. Cardona goes face-to-face with Myers before assistant beats down Cardona. Get this shit. I don't want to see this shit at all in Pittsburgh. but I'm sure they're going to have hometown man in his Pittsburgh regalia, and it's going to lead to something. All I can say is thank Christ they added Moose and Leon Slater to Slammiversary. So that one dude in the chat who was always, Cody Deaner's going to win the title. He's going to beat Moose. And I was like, no, stop it, please. This gimmick cannot get over. You know why it can't get over? Because they're putting Deaner in a mask when they've already retired him. They need to give it to if you're going to do it with somebody else. Just do it with somebody else. I didn't like it with Mr. America. I don't like it when someone does a retirement angle. And I do not like it when somebody comes out. I just don't like it when you have your talent and you have a plethora of it and you're giving this TV time to hometown man. The guy works backstage already. The guy has the job. He's a producer. He's fine. Do it with literally anybody else. Give the gimmick to someone who needs it.
To that regard, I agree with you. And to that regard, I completely agree with you. If we're going to do hometown man, is Delirious busy? He got the same beard. We could do it. You know what I mean?
I don't want his ass either because he's booking the show.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Well, I'm sorry. Delirious, apparently, as it turns out, you are busy. But I agree with you in that regard. Like, I'm sure there's someone on the undercard who's looking to do something. Someone who has been waiting to come back to do something. And I'm even of the mind that if we're going to do hometown hero, let's make it full comedy. Let it be a different wrestler every week. And it, obviously, it's Deaner now. But let it obviously be... oh my God. Oh my God. Wait, does he even still work here? Did he go to ML to Maple Leaf Pro? Bhupinder.
No, Gujar? Yeah, he's in Maple Leaf Pro. Okay. Also, there's a bit of a difference between Gujar and Cody Deaner.
But that's the joke. But that's the joke. Yeah. You have it be different people every week. So you, like you said, if someone's on the undercard, they can get on or whatever it is. Like, I know that's Cody Deaner. And then it's obviously not Cody Deaner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or have Moose beat up hometown hero that he puts on the mask. It's like, what the hell is this?
Like the whole story is that hometown, like it's a joke. I get it. It's supposed to be funny, but like jokes are supposed to be funny. This one's not funny. And the reason I don't like it is because you talk about Tessa playing in people's faces with his story. This does it to a different degree. This does it to a different degree. This is like the
Grande Americano.
Yeah, it's the purest in me. And like a Grande Americano is it's equally silly, but I don't know. Someone's saying Jeremy's gone by now. He's still there. He's still at the Pacers game. He ain't leaving until it's over.
He probably paid a lot for those tickets.
No, he didn't. That's why he decided to go, because the drive wasn't long and the tickets weren't that expensive. That's why he went. No, the opportunity was there, so he took it. But anyway, with hometown man, it's just you did an angle, and we talked about it both negatively and glowingly at the end of it, because Deaner got his moment. Deaner got his spot. He was at home. He got the baby face. And then they went to Phoenix and they just said, nah, it doesn't matter. Here's hometown man. You know who he is. It's stupid. You had
your disbelief, Joel. Jeez.
You had an opportunity to do something meaningful and you decided not to. It's just silly.
Be frustrating. I agree.
Yeah. You could have done, you could have had people come in to do a gimmick like that or just not do it. It's silly. I understand. It's joke. It's supposed to be funny. It all ends with the system unmasking him, and hopefully that's it. Then you're out. Or another match with a reinstatement clause included. Sure, whatever. But it's just a silly, stupid story. And Matt Cardona's a babyface now.
I love Matt Cardona too. Like, off the strength of him just being funny, and Chelsea Green could also suplex me, and I'd be like, thank you. I'm sorry. I don't know what I did. May I have another? Matt Cardona will always be good in my book, because somebody else like Jeff Jarrett who's going to stay booked is Matt Cardona. So Matt Cardona hasn't missed a paycheck since 2005. And Jeff Jarrett hasn't missed a paycheck since 1987. So
there it is. Josh Briggs gets a TNA title match on Tuesday's NXT, which thank God for Tom Hannifin, because he basically says Santino's an idiot. And I also thought this was stupid, because why? I just realized that my camera's flipped. Anyway, why in... Yoshiki Inamura, for those who missed it on Tuesday, he pinned Trick Williams. And instead of having the match be Inamura versus Trick, Inamura decided to basically leverage the win to give it to his tag team partner, Josh Briggs, and then try to get himself an NXT title match. Why did someone just give a TNA world title match to somebody else? Why was that considered transferable? This is the world title. Matt never gave Jeff the tag. Like, Matt never gave Jeff a title match off of a pinfall that he got. It was a very silly and stupid way to get there. I did not like that.
That's fair. I can understand. The only way I can understand is I want the TNA title, for better or for worse. It's already on someone in NXT. I want as many eyes on it as humanly possible. If it was a TNA person that pinned them, sure. But it was another NXT person. But just to say, hey, I pinned Joel, so Sean Ross Sapp, can I run fucking Fightful? Yeah, I don't think.
Doesn't work that way. It's very silly that they went that direction, and I don't know why this was... someone in the chat saying, like, all they had to do was have Briggs pin Trick, and that would have been enough.
Yeah.
And they might be doing this just to forward the Inamura and Briggs story, but, like, again, giving your tag partner a world title match because you got the pin is a very silly and just backwards way of treating your world title. Thought that kind of made TNA title look like a little brother, which they've done before with them.
I mean, come on. At this point. It is what it is.
There. Next week, the Hardys take on Sinner and Saints. The Knockouts Battle Royal. They did not say who gets their championship title match when. They just said Knockouts Battle Royal for, I assume, the number one contendership. Ali versus Skyler in a call to arms match. Santana and Francis in the street fight. So those two matches have to be different. Maybe a call to arms match is Skyler has his hand tied behind his back.
Call to arms?
No, I think he just ties his hand behind his back because it's a call to arms and the call to move your arms.
I don't see it, love.
I just don't think they're not going to put two street fights.
Maybe they'll play chess.
Maybe they'll play chess. That sounds awful.
Maybe they'll play Waffle Rifles till 4 a.m.
That sounds more like it. Yeah, that's right. It's now 100-73, by the way, for those who are paying attention to the NBA final match.
173? 100-73. Oh, nah, I'd go home. I don't need 30 points.
It's not over yet. Sits. There's still 6 minutes left. Stuff could happen. Oh, and Henry appears.
In the fourth quarter, there's six minutes?
Yeah, fourth quarter. That's a long-ass quarter to play. Could happen. Stranger things have happened.
You see all these rings I have?
Yeah, well. What's next? The main event.
Heck yeah, brother.
Champs and Challengers 10-man tag. Rascals, Elijah, and Leon Slater, and Joe Henry defeat Macklin, the Nemeth, Moose, and Trick Williams. Kazarian's on commentary. The best part about this whole thing. Good stuff. Again, we talked about it at the top. Macklin trying to get tagged in, and then when he does, getting tagged out by Ryan Nemeth, who's being a little shit. Like, that was the best part of the match to me. The little Ryan Nemeth, Steve Macklin stuff. It feels like they'll probably do a Macklin and Nemeth's kind of side feud going into Slammiversary and build Macklin a little bit more. And eventually Macklin had enough, shoves Ryan, Nick Nemeth super kicks Macklin. And later on, Ryan grabs the international title. Macklin grabs it, hits Nick with it. Henry eventually hits the spinning standing ovation on Ryan Nemeth, gives him to Elijah for the Highwayman's farewell, gets the win. Again, the match is fine. It shows that glaring, we have a full heel roster of champions and one babyface champion, and our challengers are who they are. Here we go. And then Frankie Kazarian's there. I thought Macklin was probably one of the tighter parts of the match because they had to find a story for him in a match that was otherwise very cut and dry for babyfaces and heels. But what do you think of this match overall?
I hate to agree with you, but Frankie Kazarian was really one of the best parts of this match. I'm a Joe Henry stan, so you know I popped for that. There are a few things I learned here. Kazarian hates the Rascals. When Kazarian asked Tom Hannifin, did you get your jacket off of a homeless person? Man, Kazarian just be saying anything. And I kind of live because Don Callis used to just say anything. And I like that. I I don't know what we do here with Macklin. Because again, Macklin, not even really a good guy. He's around nothing but buttholes. So I get it. I was like, ah, oh, man, like, why? Why, man? So I don't know. Leon Slater better take that title off of Moose. That's what I do know.
He will. he will. I have no doubt in my mind.
Just the very calm, he will. And now the system will have no gold again, right where they need to be. Losers.
Yeah. Regardless, that was the show. That was TNA for another week. Like I said, so TNA this week, they announced that they're doing a free tier for TNA Plus. You do have to sign up. You do not need a credit card to sign up, but you can go ahead. If you do that, they're going to be showing a live stream of tomorrow night's tapings in Pittsburgh. Jeremy and I talked about this on In the Weeds. I don't know if that's going to be just match, or if they're going to be showing any backstage stuff. If they show backstage stuff, boy, did our post show just become useless for the next 2 weeks. Cause that's basically where they're going to show you for Friday, but I'm fine with it. This is something to take a look at. If you're, maybe you don't want to watch SmackDown, or maybe you just want to watch something different. They're going to have TNA live from the Pittsburgh tapings tomorrow night. Hopefully the stream works and everything's up as it should, but it's out there. That's pretty cool. I'm glad that they did a free tier on TNA Plus, and it's something new and something different that they're trying. So I don't know if you have plans to watch it, but I certainly will be.
You said that's on Friday and not the Thursday?
It's Friday because they're taping Friday and Saturday.
I personally watch RuPaul that day, but I will watch TNA. Are we doing a post show?
No, God, no. Those tapings go until like 11 o'clock. And that's why I said, like, if anything, it's basically going to be, if I watch it live, I'm just going to take my notes and then I won't have to watch TNA on Thursday. I could just show up fresh as a daisy and talk about what we already saw.
You're smart. You'd be using your third eye.
We'll see. We'll see what they do. They might just show pieces, bits and pieces. I think, again, normally if you attend a taping, they're showing you just match. If you're live in the arena, if there's an in the ring promo, you see that. But anything that happens backstage, any pre-tapes, you don't see those because they're not ready yet. Those get added into the show later. I'm curious as to what they're going to air because they said, we're showing you the matches from Pittsburgh. I hope that's not a dipping in and out. And they're just showing you bits and pieces of the matches. I think that would be a cop-out. I think if they're really going to do it, then they should really stick to it and show us everything. Or at least as much as they're taping.
Yeah, I'd be with it. You know I love TNA, so no matter what day they film it, you know what Chris is going to be doing? Watching it eventually.
Eventually, she says.
It's true. Sometimes I'll be watching while I eat food.
Well, it's true. We do eat a lot of food on this channel.
Have you seen my stream? All I do is eat and burp.
Good for you. Good for you, as you should. What you got going on, other than eating and burping?
If you want to see Prime eating and burping, head on over to twitch.tv/CrestTheStar. Every Wednesday, we watch AEW together, but not with it on the screen because I don't want to get DMCA'd because I can't fight Tony Khan in court. He could hire me, though. I'll always make that joke. Anytime you want your CrestTheStar, search me up on the internet, CrestTarr. I'm here every Thursday with the beautiful, the illustrious, the immaculate, the ever so talented, and smart Joel Pearl. We go over all stuff TNA. Sometimes we're here with Steven Jensen, all the TNA pay-per-views. And every Saturday, unless AEW wants to run a 90-year show on Wednesday, myself, Iridian, and Rick go over all things AEW Collision. If I wake up early, I show up on other shows if they let me come. And I like to yap. I love you. I love wrestling. Find $20 on the floor. Hip hop dot block. Joel, where can I find you?
It's a 22-point game, by the way. 4 minutes left. Paces and Thunder. Could happen. I doubt it. I'm in the weeds Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays on a 5-day-a-week show, 10 a.m. Eastern on Overbooked. We've talked about it enough tonight. I flipped my camera back. Look at that. Look at that. We're back to normal now. My name's not backwards and everything looks right. It's the way it should be. So I fixed it. Don't know why it was mirrored, but it was just in time for the end of the show. Cresta and I are here every Thursday night talking about TNA Impact. Sometimes we even show up after the specials. But we definitely come here after the pay-per-views, which is in about a month's time on July the 20th. That'll be Slammiversary. The tapings that go through Pittsburgh are going to form the Slammiversary card. So we'll be talking about that and plenty more in the coming weeks. And Steven Jensen will be joining us for the pay-per-view post-show for Slammiversary. Whether or not Cresta does, well, that's up to her, whether or not she goes to the show. So go to Slammiversary. Go. Enjoy it. Why not? You got a month.
I'll bring my phone so I can do the Joel Pearl special of, guys, I'm here on the scene. On the scene.
You're on the stage? I haven't done that one.
I said on the scene.
You said on the stage and then said on the scene. Regardless.
I'm April O'Neil.
Go get your pizza. For Cresta Star, you know who I am. You know who she is. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.